This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I'll tell you what, man, you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. I love this guy, man.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is certainly your responsibility. The snow is still out there. The plows are starting to get through. Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday, so he's feeling a little tired. But we're ready to roll. We have a lot of stuff to do.
And thanks to Carlos and Lois who came over and helped me out this morning.
Why don't it should be like J-Rod. It should be Carlos.
Oh, I like that. Carlos.
Yeah. Carlos.
That sounds really that's a very good job out of you.
Thank you.
What about Lolos?
No, I think Carlos is better.
Carlos sounds
you like that better than Lolos? I think Lolos is actually a thing.
No, I think you're wrong.
Run it up the pole.
Well, really,
that's an early poll.
Oh yeah, I'm jumping out at 3:03.
So, two stages last night. This morning, dug all the cars out. But really, that's neither here nor there. That's the past. Now's the present. Michael K's birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
You know
Thank
what?
You very much,
Kaster. Happy birthday. I just put up a near tear inducing post on my Instagram page.
Did you really?
Oh yeah.
Take a look at that.
It's going to affect you. Do it during commercial because you may tear up.
Yeah, I don't want to tear up on camera.
How about my version? May you want as long as you live, but never live as long as you want.
Boy,
that's
the truth.
Doesn't work the same way.
No,
it doesn't. But I don't want to steal his line. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
That's right. You got to update.
Because I know this is a difficult. I know, Michael. All right? This is a tough number.
This is a tough number.
Because there's no getting around it.
No.
We're not talking about the number, though, I thought.
Trying not to.
Yes,
but,
just
you know, since Yes
it,
has
so.
It on the font. It's yeah. not good. It's
wow, to... that
this is your company, Michael.
My uncle Danny, my late uncle Danny, once told me this was like 15 years ago. He said, "Stop saying how old you are," and I said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's ageism in this business." He said, "And when you reach a certain age, they're going to think that you're old, even if you're not. Just don't say you." I said, "They can Google it." He said, "Well, just say it's wrong."
It's a great, you know what? That's great.
I believe me.
See, but I'm in that nebulous state now, Don. I'm in that nebulous state where they could probably still get rid of me and say I'm too old, and I'm not old enough where they can't get rid of me because I'm too old. You know what I mean?
But I haven't seen the effects. The older you get, the better the show gets.
So that's a good point. The more success you find.
My college friends were texting with me earlier, and I just said the reason that this is so difficult for me as I honestly, I don't think any differently than I did when I was 17. I'm an infant. My mind is an infant. I still think like that kid that entered Fordham for the first time. I don't think old. I can't believe I'm 60. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that I am 60 years old. I'm not 60. I can't be.
But we're very fortunate, Michael, that we do something for a living that we love. And there are a lot of people that are your age that don't, so they're counting the days to retirement, and it's a different attitude. We get to play. I told you the story. My dad, when I was very, very young, me and my brother would be up in the bedroom. My dad would leave for work if he was working the morning shift. And he'd call up to us and say, and he'd say, we'd say to our dad, "Don't work too hard." And he'd say, "Don't play too hard." And I always think about that because I'm still not working. My dad worked. My dad, like, juggled three jobs so that we never wanted for anything. I get to play and talk sports every day, and you get to call games and play, and Peter gets to be a champion for 18 hours.
Former champion. And a champion forever, Don.
But there's
so,
one
so that,
thing
So that's a different story. So that keeps us young, man.
I guess, but also the one thing about the job we have is that there are markers and video that show you how old you are. So leading into this show on Yes, if you're listening on radio, you might not know, they ran a center stage from 2002. Me and Bill Parcells. It was another human being. young, fresh, cherubic. It's all gone. It's all gone. But I'm lucky I'm here. Let's put it that way. Lucky.
You know what? Every birthday we have where we go, oh my God, I can't believe I'm this birthday. I always just think about how in a few years we're going to look back and go, oh my God, what I wouldn't do for that birthday. That was a good birthday. And I think that's true of this one too.
Yeah.
When Jody and I first met, and our 10th, by the way, Don, our 10th wedding anniversary is coming up.
It's crazy, right?
On February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I think our first date, we talked about end of life planning for me. And we also, I said, if this thing works out, the one thing you have to promise me is you have to give me the biggest 60th surprise birthday party that's ever been given. And she's actually walking around with her dauber down today because you can't do anything. First of all, even if there wasn't a snowstorm, you wouldn't be able to get people together. So the whole thing's built on a lie. So.
But it's interesting, Peter. I've joked about it being an arranged marriage. On their first date, their end of life planning for Michael?
Right.
They had to get ahead of it. They had to get ahead of it.
Well, because I had to let her know, under no circumstance, no matter the cost, should she ever, ever make the decision to pull the plug. There's no plug pulling, ever.
No plug pulling.
I don't care if I'm a burden on people. I am staying alive till they find a way to fix me.
I pray that never actually happens because you would know what his wishes were. You couldn't even think, well, he didn't really mean it. Oh, no, he did.
Well,
he reiterated
he did.
It over and over and over again.
Yeah, I've told enough people that if Jody tries to, like, do the end around, she's going to get arrested. She is. Super Week on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, sports betting, all suite hotel rooms, and thousands of slots. Your closest resort experience. Resorts World Catskills, only 90 minutes from New York City. So close. Well, we start off today with a disturbing story, and that's the story of the former Met manager, Mickey Callaway, who now incredibly is still the pitching coach of the Angels. I mean, I remember a couple of weeks ago with the Jared Porter situation, people were shocked and dismayed that Steve Cohen did not fire Porter overnight and waited till 8 in the morning. I mean, look what time it is in California right now. It's noon, and they still haven't fired Mickey Callaway. If you haven't seen it, The Athletic wrote a story that Mickey Callaway was kind of a serial predator of women that covered baseball, sending shirtless selfies to them, hitting on them. The guy's also married, by the way. And again, that's his cross to bear with his wife, but
right.
Involving the other women, it's terrible. So you're using your power as the Met manager and also in these texts telling them, if you come get drunk with me, I'll tell you what's going on with the team. It's reprehensible, but I'm sorry, and I don't want this to sound terrible, and I don't mean it this way. I'm not surprised because I spoke to a number of women in the last couple of years who told me this about Callaway. They said he's one of the biggest dogs you've ever seen in baseball. So it was well known. And the guy keeps getting jobs. The Mets hired. How did the Mets not know if the women that are covering the team were getting hit on constantly on text? And the Mets had no clue whatsoever. None. Now, I'm not talking, this Met front office is, this Met owner is different. But Sandy Alderson's not. And he claims that he didn't know anything about Callaway. But it shows you the way baseball is. Where the Angels still have not fired him as the pitching coach. I mean, what are you waiting for? And Don knows for all the years we've done the show, I never call or advocate for anybody to be fired. But, I mean, is there any way that you could keep him on your payroll when this is a guy acting like this?
Well, is it being taken seriously? See, that's the thing. Is this all just lip service? Or are things actively being done to change what's going on in Major League Baseball? Now, we could blame the Mets, but... then do you blame the Cubs for what happened with Porter? Do you blame all the teams that he had worked for? I mean, this is a societal problem, number one, but we're a sports show, and it seems like it's a real problem in sports, Michael, because it's so male-dominant.
Right.
And what's going to be done about it? Because you fire people, right, Or you have reports to come out here and he's disciplined in some way, shape, or form, and I'm sure the pressure is going to get so great that he's going to get let go from the job that he has now. But what does Major League Baseball plan to do about this? Because the scary thing about the Callaway stuff, it didn't seem like it came as any big surprise. You know, the best kept, the worst kept secret in baseball. Well, why is that?
It's the kept secret part. That's the crux of it. Because, yeah, it doesn't seem like people are overwhelmed with surprise. It seems like when I've asked people about it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what everyone always said.
And is Porter vilified, Peter, because of the way that he acted or that it was just too over the top? Like
good question.
65 text messages and all and the pick and all that. But like what if it was only half of what it turned out to be? Then it's all right? Now, there's obviously different degrees of things, but why should a woman feel like this comes with the territory? In order to work in Major League Baseball, this is something that you just have to deal with. And there's nobody to really tell, and if you did tell, it would really kind of just die on the vine anyway. Like, what does baseball do to change this?
I don't know. I think it's endemic throughout sports. I feel for the women that have to work in this industry where there's testosterone coursing through clubhouses and locker rooms. And these are people that since they were 10 years old have been the best at what they do and have been catered to and have been given things, whatever they wanted. They've hardly ever been turned down for anything that they've wanted.
Wow.
And I think that also applies to the pursuit of women. And, you know, if my daughter wanted to go in to the sports industry, I would sit her down and say, this is what you have to expect. And you don't have to accept it, but you have to expect it. And for those that will say, well, all they have to do is turn them down. Well, if you're covering the Mets and Mickey Callaway's hitting on you and you just turn him down, that's it. You're probably cut off. And that's why they say the power structure is so unfair. And then if you string him along, then he thinks he has a chance and he's going to continue to do what he does. And it's not just Mickey Callaway. When they say it's one of the worst kept secrets in baseball, how does everybody not know? It happens throughout the sporting world.
But this is what's scary, Michael, and we talked about it when Jared Porter got busted. He was a low-level executive at the time. And Mickey Callaway was a middling manager. I mean, this was a guy barely hanging on to a job. All right? We're not talking about some manager that's won, you know, 5 rings. You know, we're not talking about some executive that has won a bunch of championships. We're talking about Porter, who barely was anybody, and Mickey Callaway that has always been 5 minutes from getting fired. So those are the powerful people in the sport? I mean, you talk about the guys that have never said no to, that they get away with anything. We're not talking about stars. We're not talking about athletes. We're talking about, you know, a borderline manager and a low-level executive are able to do this without anybody getting in their face about it.
It's sad. It's sad. And some of the men that see it going on are paralyzed as well. What, you're going to make this stand and you're going to ruin your career as well by, like, telling somebody? I mean, you know, I had heard from the two women I spoke about how bad Callaway was, but it wasn't my place to tell that story, and I didn't have to deal with Mickey Callaway. But I'd be hard-pressed that Mickey Callaway was this insistent and this predatory, and no one knew about it. Now, Ian O'Connor's a guy that we all respect the heck out of. He tweeted something out last night that really startled me. I don't know if you guys saw it. This is it. This was tweeted out 14 hours ago. Sandy Alderson knew nothing about Mickey Callaway's conduct. Sandy Alderson knew nothing about Jared Porter's conduct. Sandy Alderson knew nothing about Mark McGwire's PED use. Sandy Alderson suspected something about Jose Canseco's PED use, but did nothing about it. Now, that is a up and in on one of the most respected guys in baseball. A Marine who I can tell you just in the way that we know Sandy probably is sickened by the things that have gone on his watch. But, I mean, you do have to wonder, can you exist in this business in the past? I think it's going to change now. But can you exist in this business, even if you're a high, upstanding, moral person, if you shut down everybody who does stuff like this? Believe me, Mickey Callaway is not an isolated incident. It is endemic in the sports world. I can't emphasize enough. Every time there's a new woman that comes into a locker room or a clubhouse, it's like people can't believe it. It's like the first woman that they've ever seen. And I've seen ball players give bat boys notes to send to women. I mean, it's like a game. But to the women that have to deal with this, it's no game. It's their life. It's their career. And they have to manage somehow dealing with this and not going off on a revenge tangent and going to the organization, because then you probably are out. You probably cannot regain your footing in that room. Think about how psychologically that plays with their minds. Think about it. They are paralyzed to do anything. If they bring it to the authorities, can they work covering that team anymore? If they call the person on it and say, this is inappropriate, do you think that they have any kind of working relationship with that person anymore? That's the kind of paralyzed situation that these women are in. It's unfair. But I'm telling you, this is a testosterone-laden business run by mostly men. And that's what these women have to deal with constantly, constantly. And now I know people are going to say, people are allowed to hit on people. Yeah, people are allowed to ask people out, but not in a power structure like that, where if you possibly say no, then you might lose any kind of access you have and ability to cover that team. That's what these women have to deal with on a consistent basis. Baseball has to stop, and you've got to be a little bit more vigilant and diligent in the way you actually check these people out. You couldn't find anybody to tell you that Jared Porter was a little creepy. You couldn't find anybody, if you're the Cleveland Indians, if you're the New York Mets, and then the California or the LA Angels. No one would tell you that Mickey Callaway is a creep. Nobody, when it was, as it said in the story in The Athletic, the world's worst kept secret. Or is it just like, well, everybody's like this? Well, that's what's got to change. Everybody can't be like this. Can't go on. Mickey Callaway is a married man. Again, that's not for me to say that's right or wrong. I have no idea the kind of arrangement he and his wife have. But he is also a person of power, preying on people that need him to work with. Think about
also,
that.
And
how
Michael,
how do women deal with it?
And also, there's almost separate things here to discuss, because yes, there's number one, with a power dynamic like that, where you have a manager hitting on reporters, that's inherently problematic because of the power structure and the job that the women are trying to do. On top of that, Michael, that's not even what the crux of this story is. We're talking about it going beyond him being like, hey, would you like to get a drink sometime? We're talking about straight up inappropriate and lewd behavior. Like we're talking about sending unsolicited photos and saying, straight up saying, because it's bad enough that the implication is, I want to build a relationship with you. The woman has to figure out, oh, is this a real relationship or a professional relationship? Or is this guy hitting on me? That's something women have to deal with constantly. But he also was very specific. Hey, if you get drunk with me, I'll give you the information you want. He laid it right out there.
Yeah.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Well, this guy Michael just tweeted. He said, Porter admitted Callaway is saying it was consensual. Can't fire someone based on allegations. There's texts that show it's not consensual. Sending shirtless photos? I mean, what is he, 11?
Well, maybe it's
time. Is he 11 years old?
Maybe it's time that the enablers get called out. Because it's somewhere along the line, someone is just not caring to pursue the story. At some point, somebody's looking the other way. Well, maybe you got to root those people out too. Hey, you knew about this. Why did you hire him? Hey, you knew about this. Why didn't you say anything? Because it's so easy to say, well, it wasn't my place. Well, that's a convenient excuse, right? Well, it wasn't my place. Sometimes that is the case, that it's not your place. But there are times where it was your place, and you're just using that as an excuse because you don't want to get involved. You don't want to be that guy. Because we live in a society, right, where we joke about it on the show about narcomania. You don't want to be that one to blow the whistle, especially when you don't feel that there's going to be a lot of people on your side. But at some point, we have to take a look and see how does something become the worst-kept secret in baseball. And yet no one says anything about it. He continues to get hired. He continues to manage. He continues to get jobs. How does that happen? Until you start rooting out the people that are allowing all this behavior to continue.
And let me tell you what happens in sports settings, in all sports. Let's say, and these men continue to do it, so there must be some people that actually do give in to the advances, which is sad. But maybe they feel there's no other way to do it, or maybe they like the person. I have no idea. That's not for me to say. But this is how it works in sports, everybody. For all of you young people that think, you know, this could be, you know, a quiet, discreet thing, they tell everybody. So if Mickey Callaway actually did cash in on one of these texts that he sends out, I'm sure he came back and told everybody. Oh, see that one over there? That's the way it works. It's a game. It's a game for them. There's no love involved. There's no emotion. It's a game. It's a game of conquer. So think about the situation that the women in the sport are in. You don't give in to the advances, right? Well, you probably have lost contact and the ability to cover the team. That's number one. Now, they had nothing to do with the advance. The advance was done without their consent. Or if you do give in to the advance, then everybody in the room will know.
Right.
And you will be painted as someone with loose morals.
Right.
That's what these women, that's their choices. Talk about Sophie's choice. You either lose access to somebody that you need to cover or you lose respect. And you wonder, I'm so glad that The Athletic, Katie Strang and Britt Giroli, are doing this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, on this show, at 3:24, there are people throughout sports, let's say baseball, because that seems to be the emphasis right now, they are shaking in their boots because they know it's about to rain down. Because this stuff is not going to be put up with anymore. It is going to come raining down on them. Marriages will be ruined. Careers will be ruined. So all the cavalier macho nonsense that has gone on for decades, it's about to come to order. Good for the people that are uncovering it. Again, we live in a world where you can ask people out, but not in a power structure that's uneven. You just can't do it. There are about to be people that are going to pay the piper, and they know it because they know they've been living this. Mickey Callaway is not one time. He is not the only person. He's the one that they've uncovered, but there are a lot of other people that are probably even worse than him. And they wake up every day and nervously look at their phone because the next stone that drops is going to be on their head.
And on top of that, that's part of the reason probably some people don't want to say anything, Michael, because if you're someone who's been doing your own dirt, even if you haven't been doing what Callaway's been doing, right? So let's say Callaway has a colleague who thinks that what he does is crazy. He's not sending unsolicited photos, but he's having affairs. He may not want to uncover someone else who's doing something that he even deems to be wrong because he doesn't want it to come back and have someone who has power over him and knows what he's done be angry at him.
It's a whole house of cards, Peter.
Exactly. It's a house of cards.
It's a house of cards that will come tumbling down. I just wonder, like, Mickey Callaway is fungible. Jared Porter, fungible. But what happens when the first big superstar is uncovered to be that guy? Is he fungible? Are they going to force him out of the sport, or is it going to be a simple slap on the wrist suspension? I wonder, because that's going to happen. There's probably stars out there there's probably Hall of Famers that have done it. Probably. Definitely.
Yeah. But to Peter's point, Michael, if it is so ingrained in the social aspect of the sport, then do people not come forward because they know that their own house might be in disorder?
Well, they're not going to. Nobody's going to blow the whistle on their brethren. It's going to be these reporters that finally have had enough. That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to live this way anymore. Those are the people that are going to uncover it. And they have the receipts because they've kept the text. Idiots. Idiots. How do people send anything in text that could come back to haunt you?
See, that's a relatively new phenomenon, really. What are we, like 15 years now? Less than 20 years that texting has become like a thing where everybody does it? So now it's kind of easy to root these people out. Imagine what it was back in the day when there was no paper trail.
All right, let's take a time out. We'll obviously take questions on this. Phone calls 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
It's really unbelievable. For years, I've told Don, don't shovel snow, Peter.
Oh, I know.
And then we just had our pre-show meeting, and he's like lying back, and I said, what's wrong? I'm really exhausted. He shoveled where he lives. It's about 2 feet of snow. Thick, heavy snow. Nobody listens to me. So how do you explain this?
Listen, what do you want me to do?
I want you to pay a kid in the neighborhood.
But there is no kid in the neighborhood.
Well, then have Marco do
it. Is that kidintheneighborhood.org? You go out there. I got my snow blower. A neighbor came by, kind of helped me out because he had a snow blower. Between the two of us, we were able to get the bulk of it gone, and then you got to shovel, dig the cars out. Well, this is life, man.
The Michael Kay Show.
I should be back by showtime tomorrow.
We'll see. I'm somewhat dubious, Dr. Cronkite.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. Super show so far. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Now, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Well, we mentioned the Mickey Callaway story in The Athletic, kind of predatory behavior toward women that were covering the Mets when he was their manager, and that the Angels have suspended him. And we said, well, that kind of makes the Angels look bad. Well, Aldin Gonzalez, who works for ESPN, said a source has told them that Mickey Callaway has denied any wrongdoing, which protects him from being fired without an investigation. MLB and the Angels are hoping to wrap up this investigation in relatively short order. It's amazing. I mean, there are receipts there. There are screenshots. So what's he denying doing? I don't quite get it.
No, what it comes down to is whether it was consensual or not. And I guess he's going to argue that, yeah, I did these things. There's obviously a paper trail, but she wanted me to do it. She was receptive to it. That's what he's probably going to argue.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there's an incredible trail of text that would show you that it's not.
Well, then we'll find out. And that's what the investigation will lead to. But that explains it. I did not realize he was going to fight it. And maybe he's got some evidence himself of how he felt that maybe he was led along or led to believe that it was consensual. We're going to have to wait and see on the investigation.
Mm. We'll see how long it takes. Knicks yesterday lose to the Bulls in Chicago. They didn't play great defense. They didn't come out really sharp. And Thibodeau was kind of upset with them. And now they're four games under 500, which is their low point for the season. And the one thing that you take away from this game, and when you watch the Knicks a lot, they don't have three-point shooters. It's hard to compete in this league without three-point shooters. I mean, they were dreadful yesterday from behind the arc. Just dreadful. They couldn't hit the water if they fell out of a boat. And it's not like they were cold. So, like, if the Nets or Joe Harris don't hit a lot of threes, well, they just had a night. Well, if the Knicks hit a lot of threes, they just had a night. They don't have people that can shoot threes on a consistent basis. R.J. Barrett is not a consistent three-point shooter. And as much as I love Emmanuel Quickley's game, he's taking 30-foot shots as if he's Steph Curry. They can't hit threes. It's hard to win in this league without three-point shooting. So I don't know if there's – I mean, I know J.J. Redick is available to be had, makes a lot of money, but isn't he wasted on a team like this? I'm sure he wants to go to a contender, but the Knicks, you know, they play hard, they play tough, they play smart most of the time. But if you can't hit three-point shots, you're trading the other team's three for your two. You're going to end up losing the game.
Because that's what it felt like in the game, right? Every time they tried to get back in, bang, the Bulls would hit a three. And now your work's even harder, right?
Their starters
just the way
were
it was the entire – it felt like every time they tried to crawl back into the game, they just couldn't stop them from hitting a three.
Their starters were 1-for-12 from three.
I mean, it's dreadful. And as much as you love – Quickley's game, you can't be shooting from 30 feet. I mean, he's made four 3-pointers. Mike Breen said yesterday during the game, 4 3-pointers of shots past 30 feet, but then he's becoming addicted to them. He's not Steph Curry yet. He's just a 19-year-old kid who happens to be a real good player for the Knicks. Looks like they really got themselves a keeper late in the first round. But you can't be taking shots like that. That's not within the confines of the offense. It's not a smart shot to take. It's just not. So, you know, it's somewhat frustrating. And then when they don't play great defense and don't have great effort at the beginning, which is, I think, what really annoyed Thibodeau the most, that gets you a bit. So they came out flat in the first and they came out flat in the third. Now, they ended up tying the game late in the fourth quarter, but their inability to hit 3 points while Zach LaVine was draining them, that's the difference in the game. So they'll get another chance at the Bulls tomorrow. We'll see what they do with that. Major League Baseball, you know, I was reading a lot because I didn't understand why the players didn't accept or at least counter offer the owner's proposal for a 154-game season that would start the end of April and pay them in full. But then reading a lot of threads yesterday, the reason is that if you start negotiating, then you are, in fact, negotiating, and the owners could then declare an impasse and unilaterally impose what they want to have happen. So you don't want to negotiate at all. They give you something you don't like, and you go, that's it. No, because if you come back with a counteroffer, well, negotiations have kicked in,
right?
And then you could all of a sudden give the owners the power that you don't want. There's Don and Peter, there's such a lack of trust between these two sides that I the way it is right now, there will not be expanded playoffs. The season's going to start on April 1st. There will not be a universal DH. There will not be 7-inning doubleheaders. There will not be a runner that starts at second base, because the players look at that and go, that's all stuff that we are going to use as negotiating tools when the collective bargaining agreement is up on December 1st. So I'd be stunned if there's not a work stoppage next year. Well, I just thing. Would be absolutely stunned.
And this kind of makes sense, because one of the other things that I was reading, Michael, and you might even have brought this up, is that they've got a problem with the power that Manfred has. And that's the power of implementing his own rules if they start negotiating. So fight as much as you can without negotiating. You know, don't cave here. And then in 2022, go to war and hope that you can win some of your power back. That's why it's scary. It's really going to be scary, because 2022 is when everything hopefully is going to be back to the actual normal. Right? Everybody's going to, businesses are going to start happening again, that the pandemic is going to be gone. And I'm talking, like, you know, in the spring of 2022. And you're not going to have any baseball because they're in a lockout or a strike.
It's amazing how much they hate each other.
They all do, right?
Not to this level, though.
But here's the thing. If you drop me from Mars and talked about, like, players hating ownership, you would think it'd be the football players, right? The baseball players have it good compared to the other sports, right? The other sports have a cap. You know, football's got all these issues with non-guaranteed contracts, and their careers are so short, and the fact that they were lied to by ownership about concussions. I mean, you talk about players having a problem with ownership. Right, Peter? You would think that the players in football would have a more of a problem than in any other sport. But baseball, which I think has it very well, their contracts are guaranteed, their careers are long, they've won the majority of the battles when it's come to going mano a mano with the owners going back to the 70s, and they're the ones that have the most hate in their heart? Explain that to me.
Well, I'm going to explain one thing to you. They got their asses kicked in the last collective bargaining agreement.
One time. I mean,
they didn't realize. One time they did. And they didn't realize what they were giving up. And what they gave up was immense. A tax threshold, which the owners have used as a cap. And now they want to get retribution for that. And they're angry. They're angry at their own ineptitude. They feel they got ripped off. You agreed to it. You signed it. And to be honest, if you look at the proposal for the 154-game season and the way the virus is right now, at least in Arizona, although it's coming down a bit in the last week, the last couple of weeks, it would be smart to play 154 games. That proposal is not a bad proposal. And, you know, they feel they're giving away too much if they add two more teams into the playoffs because they say that the more teams that make the playoffs, there's less incentive for the owners to spend. Well, most of the teams are set anyway. So I think this is just being stubborn, but I understand what they're doing because they don't want to get into a negotiation because then they lose power. I get it. I get it. But the 154 proposal starting the season at the end of April is smart with where the world is right now. But they said pitchers are ramped up to start now. They don't want to have injuries. They're more concerned with injuries than they are with COVID for people in their 20s and 30s. I get it. But once again, and I say this every single year, and I say this with every single time that they go back and forth with something, you're embarrassing yourself, both sides, when you make it public. You're embarrassing yourself, especially in the world in which we live. There are 4,000 people a day that die because of a virus. There have been 400,000 people that have died. When this is all over, there might be 600,000 people that are dying. And you're going back and forth and leaking this stuff to the media. Negotiate with yourselves. Turn down offers. Whatever the case may be. That's what business is about. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. I understand. Big money. Big business. You're allowed to negotiate. Why does it have to go public? Why? What does the court of public opinion mean? It's not a vote. It's not an election. We're not going to the polls to vote which side's going to get their deal. It's an embarrassment.
But it's so funny to me that they care about the court of public opinion, but don't realize how damaging all this is to the court of public opinion. I mean, if they go into a work stoppage for any other reason but COVID, they're going to look like jerks. The sport's already, in certain ways, at least from a popularity standpoint, struggling to get a younger generation. Do you really think? I remember in 1981 when we had the strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old was I at the time? 13 years old. You know, 13-year-old Don LaGreca was devastated. There was no baseball. And then they came back with the All-Star game, remember, and they had this stupid split season. Do you think 13-year-old kids are going to be crying in their soup that there's no baseball in April? With all the other stuff that's going on, you're going to have the baseball and hockey playoffs starting in April. There's going to be the draft coming up. Kids are more into soccer now than ever before. So do you think it's going to be like we were when we were kids, Michael, and there was no baseball and we didn't know what to do with ourselves? Do you think the younger generation is going to care? That's what they got to be worried about.
I don't want to say that either side should give in because I understand that there's a lot of money at stake. All I'm saying is we don't have to watch as you make the sausage. Just serve the sausage when it's done. We don't want to see what goes into it. Why does it have to be leaked constantly to the media? Why? To make the other side look bad? It doesn't matter. That's not going to spur on negotiations, in my opinion.
Well,
so where it stands right now, I think the Yankees are reporting on February 16th or 17th. Same with the Mets. Yankees spring training schedule starts toward the end of February, which we'll have on, yes. And from what I read, Don and Peter, spring training sites will not allow fans there during workouts, but once the games start, they will allow 25% capacity both in Arizona and Florida. So that's where we stand right now.
Now, for the record, on that subject, at some point, at least during ENN, I'll mention the LeBron James story from last night about his situation with a fan.
Courtside Karen.
But here's the most interesting part about courtside Karen. They're courtside in Atlanta?
I was shocked at that.
Also, how could everyone accept this? So you go around the whole country, you play games often in empty buildings or with fans scattered up in throughout the crowd, but then you go to certain places and there are fans courtside?
It seems crazy. I mean, they're one breath away from you.
You're not wearing a mask
if you're a player.
Right. I that was the part that the story itself was stupid, but that part I was really like, really? That was wild to me.
Yeah, it was. I was stunned too. I said, "Well, where is that, L.A.?" And I know that things are bad in California, but then I realized it was in Atlanta, and wow, just wow. You know who we have coming on next?
Who's
that? Major League's home run leader last year, Luke Voit. Voit is going to join us. Yeah, he's receiving an award today at the virtual Thurman Munson dinner. It's a dinner that I usually host, and It's a great dinner, but obviously it has to go virtual this year. But he's going to receive an award at the 41st Annual Thurman Munson Award. So that's coming up in just a moment. We'll talk to Luke about his offseason, about last year, and about the 162 that's upcoming. All coming up right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah, yes, a snowy Groundhog's Day. Hope you're all doing well. This portion of the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN, is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Well, the story that we opened up with today is an unfortunate story, and it was broken by The Athletic, revealing that Mickey Callaway kind of skeevy when he was managing the Mets, seemingly inappropriate texts to women that were covering the team, and not seemingly, they are, and, you know, there are copies, screenshots of the texts that were provided by The Athletic. The Angels, who Callaway works for right now as their pitching coach, suspended him. California law says that if somebody denies wrongdoing, you have to investigate, so you can't fire them right away. So I don't understand on what grounds Mickey is denying wrongdoing. The pictures are there. He's sending shirtless photos to women saying, let's get drunk and I'll tell you about the team. And he's saying, I guess, that it was consensual, but I guess the text will tell the story. And, you know, Mickey Callaway probably will be out of a job. And I hope that the Callaway situation and the Porter situation is a wake-up call to the important people in baseball that this stuff has to stop. Because I think that this stuff does go on in all sports. People and organizations do, in fact, know about it. They turn away and look away because a lot of the people that are doing it are very important people in the sport. And they just kind of make it out, well, this is going on for years, it's boys being boys. No, it's not. These are different times. And even in the story in The Athletic, it said this is one of the worst-kept secrets in baseball. So everybody knew that Callaway was like this. It's like, Peter, it's like the Weinstein situation. Harvey Weinstein, everybody in Hollywood knew this was going on, and it just went on. Because I guess they thought it was the price of doing business, but it's not. It shouldn't be. It's unfair to the women that have to deal with it. So, as I said earlier, if you're a woman in this business, think about the choice you have to make. You could say no to this person just straight out and report them to the organization, and your likelihood of being able to work covering that organization is zero. Or you could succumb to the advances, and then everybody in that locker room or clubhouse, whatever sport it will be, is going to know about it, because that's what these men do, is they conquer and then they tell. It's a Sophie's choice for a woman in this business. It shouldn't be that difficult. They're human beings. They should be allowed to cover the sport without this kind of thing hanging over their head. It's sad. It's really pathetically sad.
Right. And then they move up in the business, and what's the allegation? They slept their way to the top.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame. It really is. And we're trying to encourage more women to get involved, and I would think that this would discourage women. So what are you saying? I can go and cover the sport that I love, but I'm going to be inundated with this stuff. If I blow the whistle, then I become a pariah and I'm out. And if I don't blow the whistle and accept it, then as I move up the ranks, when everybody knows that these things were happening to me and I didn't do anything about it, then I'm somebody who slept their way to the top and I got the story because of a compromising situation. What way is that to do business? What way is that to live?
And I would just ask these men that are doing this, what would you do if it happened to your daughter? I just wonder about the way people are brought up, that they think that this is proper behavior. Like, like Porter with the obscene picture that he tweeted or texted. And then Mickey Callaway sending shirtless. Why? When does this stuff work?
Are you
appealing to this, like, this part of the brain? Wow, look, he's got his shirt off. I've got to go meet him. I mean, really, what kind of clown does that?
Because they don't get it. Because they think their thinking is so, like, prehistoric, right? Their logic is, well, I wouldn't mind getting a topless photo from an attractive reporter. So why? And I'm an attractive guy. I'm Mickey Callaway. I'm built. I got a nice beard. So she should look at it as, look at the favor that I'm doing for her. How does that hurt her? Like, they don't understand the emotional damage that can cause someone that's not interested. Someone that doesn't want to have to deal with that. And that's sometimes, I think, in the male brain, like, we have difficulty trying to associate it, because those things don't bother us, right? Let's be honest. For the most part, that type of behavior doesn't bother us. And we can't understand why it would bother them.
Yeah, but even in this case, an unsolicited photo from a colleague, someone in a position of power for you, which, granted, doesn't happen often enough.
Well, there you go.
But if it were to happen, and you were, say, married, and you randomly got that from someone in a position of power, while you, yes, it wouldn't have the same connotation, because socially it's such a different situation, and power structures and sexuality, et cetera, you'd still be taken aback.
But see, here's a perfect example, and I don't know how many people saw this movie. Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston is the dentist. And then the guy that's from, I can't think of his name.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. And he's got the high-pitched voice. Mm-hmm. And he's being sexually harassed by Jennifer Aniston. Like, and it's awful because he doesn't want to have to deal with it, as attractive as she is. And it becomes a running joke in the movie about, why is this a problem? It was a problem because, you know, she was in a position of power. He felt like he was made to feel uncomfortable in a place where he could have lost his job. He was engaged to a girl. But it's like a joke, because, like, how often are men in that situation? Like, Peter just nailed it. That's the difference, is because it's using your power to manipulate a situation. And unfortunately, in sports, how often do the women have the power to do that? Never. But the men always do. So now they're put in uncomfortable situations. You try to come up with an equal for a man being in that situation, and it becomes laughable, right? Because how often, even in general society, Peter, is a man put in a position where a woman of power is going to take advantage of
him? Well, it's sort of like why the notion of reverse racism is generally a silly notion. Because for something like this that has these historic issues that are built into society, you can't do an apples to apples reversal. You can't, because society is completely different. So you can't just flip it around and really say, what would it be like, even though I just did that, because I do think there could be some level of discomfort, but it's never going to be an apples to apples comparison. It
never.
Can't be.
And I will tell you this, what I said earlier, this is not a one-time situation, just as Jared Porter wasn't. And I would guarantee you that there are people in the sports world, not just baseball, it's unfair to just put it on baseball, there are people in the sports world that are shaking in their boots right now, thinking, there but for the grace of God go I. And the women have probably saved these texts and these unwanted advances, and the day of reckoning is happening. And a lot of people are going to lose their job. I just wonder what happens when a star player, because as I've always said, talent is the great deodorant, the star player is revealed to have done this. What's going to happen? What's the punishment going to be? Are you going to release him? The star player, not the person that, you know, the 25th man on the roster or the 51st person on the football roster. No, the star, the quarterback, the home run hitting outfielder. What happens? What sport's going to do then?
Well, you got to be fair. Because, like, I was thinking, could Rob Manfred just come up and reach out to every female reporter in the sport and say, I want to let you know, I want to hear your stories. If you have something, please come to me. We'll investigate it. We'll do something about it. We are going to take this seriously. All right? That might be a good step. That might be something to do. What if one of those things involved, like, a high-profile athlete?
Well, you know what? Jennifer Hart on Twitter just brings up a great point. It happened with Favre. Nothing happened to him. Right? Nothing happened to him.
Yeah, that was the same thing, right? That was an unsolicited
private picture of a... Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of became like a joke. It was not taken... That was, what, seven, 8 years ago?
Yeah, it's a different world now.
But,
it's a different world.
But here's the thing. That's in everything, right? No matter what it is, the athlete's always going to get the benefit of the doubt over the manager or the coach or the executive or the office worker, right? That just in anything. It doesn't stop you from trying to do it, though, and to pursue it and try to figure out a way to make these things a more comfortable situation. But, hey, it, no matter what it is, whether it's drinking or driving to murdering somebody, the athlete always finds some way to be able to make it work more so than the common man does. But that shouldn't stop you from trying to correct the issue.
All right, let's go to the calls. Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, this is like the second time the last 3 weeks that we had a mess employee and being some stupid dumb stuff. I mean, we're now in the Me Too era where we hear stories about women being violated and stories about that. And I just heard a story this morning of that lady from, I'm not trying to be political, that woman from Cortez brought up her story being sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. As well as Evan Rachel Wood, who was sexually assaulted, who was abused by Marilyn Manson. I said to myself, come on, God, come on. I mean, do these men ever think before, do they ever use their head? I mean, come on now. I mean, I'm just disappointed. And listen, at the end of the day, I just hope that, I applaud these women for speaking up, but at some point it has to stop.
Well, you would think it's stopping the world. I mean, just think it doesn't make sense.
Now, I guess it's believable. The Mets didn't know about Porter. Didn't happen on their watch. A lot of people got caught with their pants down on that one. But this one, it's hard to believe the Mets didn't know. Really hard to believe the Mets didn't know. And so I guess what happens, Michael, is then you're not necessarily given the benefit of the doubt on the Porter situation. See how it works? Now, I think this is a baseball problem, not a Met problem, but specific to what we do for a living in the city in which we do it in. Yeah, certainly the Mets had to know this.
Let's go to Harry in Pennsylvania. Harry.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I got vetted by Andrew because of what I have to say. You know me as Harry, and Andrew knows my background. I played D1 football. I was an All-American, honorable mention, linebacker at a school that Peter's familiar with. And here's the issue that I have. When we exited the tunnel after a game, there were women there. We didn't need to tweet. There was no Twitter, all right? But it was just a thing. You walked out, there were girls. If you did not have a steady girlfriend, you found one within 15 minutes. And the fact that these athletes have to do this is appalling to me. Because it's there for the asking. When you, Michael, you would know from doing the Yankee games. When the Yankees exit the tunnel to go home, there are women. All right? And all you have to do is look at one and say, hey, want to go out to dinner? Or whatever you want to say, whatever your line may be. But I'm 69 years old. And by the way, Michael, happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right. And I still think I'm 29, just like you do.
No, I think I'm 12.
That's just amazing to me when I hear these things about...
Yeah, but Harry, here's the deal. You shouldn't be that amazed, because I don't think it's about being able to be with a woman, it's a power situation. It's an exertion of your power. It's an exhibition of your power. Look, I have power over somebody. Yeah, most professional athletes can date five times a day if they'd like. But in terms of, you know, showing your power, exerting your power over someone, that's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, handsome, eligible men commit rape. Handsome, eligible men do terrible things to women. That's not what it is. And also, I would go as far as saying that while, don't get caught up too much, Harry, in the good old days, it used to be like this. Because believe me, in those situations where players after games are meeting up with women, players are doing plenty of terrible things in that way also. And also abusing the power structure in different ways. This is just a different version of that same thing.
All right, now, I get a chance. You don't really get a chance this often to right a wrong from yesterday.
Do I get my championship back?
No. That I said right or wrong. Remember my, we call it the Comrex. I accidentally unplugged it and went off the air yesterday. When I got back, Don and Peter were in the process of talking to a gentleman from Okinawa.
Very nice.
And
gentleman.
I joined it right in the middle, and I thought he had made his point, but he had not. And I hung up.
Yeah, you fat-handed it.
I fat-handed it. And I felt awful about it. And now Paul from Okinawa has called back. And Paul, let me be first to say I apologize for cutting you off yesterday. That was all me, not them. So I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem there, Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I'm calling because to make my point is now that the Yankees are being smart with the money and they're not being cheap, I believe this is the time that in order for them to go over the hump, they need to make a trade. Not now, but I believe in the trade deadline. Just like the Astros did with Verlander, just like Boston did with Sale, I believe if that point comes on this season, they need to do that to get over the hump.
Yeah, but you know the complication with that, Paul, is if it's, well, let's say they make a trade. I mean, this is totally not going to happen, but the Mets put Jacob DeGrom up. And the Yankees acquire him. Well, the Yankees would be adding a $30 million contract, so they would be going over the salary threshold, which is not what they want to do, which is what they're assiduously avoiding. Mm. So that's why I think they have about $9 million left to get to 210. They might spend it now, or they might leave it there, and they're going to acquire whoever would fit into that $9 million slot. I don't know if they would go over 210 if they feel that there's a Verlander out there like the Astros did, and the Astros ended up getting a championship out of it. But you know that 210's not going away. It's just not. And the Yankees have not publicly stated that because you can't. It's not, can't do that according to the basic agreement, but it's clear what they're doing. They're trying to stay under the salary threshold. So if they do make an acquisition at the trade deadline, they might have to give up other money in order to bring that money back.
That's what fans don't want to hear, is a situation where they get to the trading deadline, they're a starter away, and that starter's available, and they won't make the deal because he's making too much money, and they don't win the championship. That's what's unforgivable to Yankee fans.
And
I
maybe
get what
they would
saying.
Decide to go over at that point, Don. I don't know. I can't
speak.
Well,
kind of like Teixeira in 2009, right? It's just, mm-hmm. you know, that if they get to a point where this is the missing piece. Now, that's a lot clearer. I think Paul made up a great point, is that at the trading deadline, things can be a lot more clearer than they can be in the offseason, where you suffer an injury or you just know this deep into the year, this is the one piece that's going to put us over the top. And you don't do it because of money, that would drive the fan base crazy.
1-800-919-3776. You know what we have coming up now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keyshawn. Coming up next, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.